I want to give Brother Doug as much time as possible, so you're in for a treat. This is, I want to tell you, going to inspire your life. Brother Doug, why don't you come? Let's welcome Brother Doug as he comes to share with us today.
Thank you, Pastor. Woo! God's in this place. I was just like, come on, Pastor, just preach it. Give the altar call. I'm good. Amen. You get an atmosphere like this, it'd make a mummy shout, you know? So, what my grandfather used to always say, you know? But it's good to be here today. I'm honored to be here and just so humbled. And you're just a fabulous, fabulous church. You know, I'm so glad to be connected with a church that has a pulse on the heartbeat of God for your community and for the nations. And it's about people, isn't it, really? And you know, the closer you get to Christ, the more your heart is enlarged for people, you know. And so if you're wondering if giving your life fully to God is a safe thing to do or not, you know, because we could love God, but we could love other things more. We could want God, but we could want other things more. Having a little bit of Jesus, it might be nice, but there's a lot of times we feel like we want to control the outcome of our life, you know? And so we want to reserve, and my God, if I surrender everything to Jesus, I'm going to be in the Congo, and I won't like that. Well, let me tell you this. His outcome at the end of the day for your life is better than your best plans for your life. Whatever you're dreaming about, whatever you're hoping for, his dream for you is bigger still. You know, he foreknew you before you were born. And he had already set you apart for his pleasure. The reason you're sitting here in this building today is because the loving kindness of God reached out to you one day. And he's calling you to himself. Without him reaching to you, you would never know him or even have the capability. But he saved you by grace because he's leading you into something. He's leading you into something that's bigger and it's greater than what you could even imagine. And the testimonies, I pray to give God the rightful honor, because you know, we're not worthy of anything. You know, if the devil comes and whispers in your ear trying to get you down, saying, you know what, you don't deserve that, you can rightfully say, I know it, I never deserved it. But God loved me anyway. God saved me anyway. Amen. I don't deserve a thing. I'm not entitled to anything. So what I'm trying to say here is when you give him your yes, you're plugging into your destiny. You're plugging into what's exceedingly abundantly above what you can ask or think. And what God is doing in my family, it's not because we're great and influential and knowledgeable and even smart at times. It's because of the grace of God. I love this about God, that he chooses unknown people from obscure places to do great things for him. And he has us walking with him through nations today that I never dreamed of before. Maybe that's not his plan for you, but let me tell you something. His plan's greater than your plans. And his strength is greater than your puny human strength. This is a book of testimony from cover to cover of a supernatural God intervening on behalf of broken, weak humanity. And he never did anything normal. He didn't do anything logical. He is so greater than this realm, the universe can't even contain him. But he's got his eye on you. And he's bringing you into his nature so he can work through you just like Jesus. As the Father sent me, so send I you, Jesus said. That has a part in the testimony I want to bring you today. And to know that you might be thinking like, I'm not smart enough. I don't know the right people. I don't have the capital. What can I do? It's not about what you can do. It's what the King of the universe can do. The Lord is the great God and the great King above all other gods. He said, I will be their God and they will be my people. Listen, you are not alone today, but you are the people of his pasture where he has taken full responsibility to care for your life and to lead you to green pastures and beside still waters and guide you through. Oh, if you ever wondered if surrendering your life to Jesus, I mean, that means coming to the altar of God and saying, all of me, for all of you, I'm in. If you ever wondered if that's a safe thing, oh, I'll tell you what, it's the best thing you could ever do in your life. And all we see in the Bible, God is still doing today. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
I got a sermon today. That ain't it. I'm just chatting with you. But God's good. I just appreciate this church. And I want you to know that partnering with our ministry, it goes straight to the field. It's not lost in administrative cost and some CEO's brand new Ferrari. But it goes straight to souls. And you've done it, not unto us. But what you have done has been done unto Christ himself. Amen? Whether it's in Ukraine or Hungary, you know, it's unto Christ. So, you know, God, and to save a lot of time, he turned our heart after being in ministry 30 years. I was thinking I was going to do what I was going to do forever. But God had a river for us to cross and a broader land to enter into, you know. And it didn't come easy. It actually came through crisis. It came through desperation. Okay? And I didn't even finish the story with my wife. In 2010, she had a neurological stroke. We were starting the year just like this year. Que sera, sera. You know what? God wants to break up your que sera, sera. He wants to bust up the status quo. I mean, because he hadn't called you to be ordinary. He's called you into greatness. He's called you to walk with him. Oh, what a life. And so she said, I've had enough of doctors. I want to see God raise me up. She couldn't hardly talk, numb, had to leave her job immediately. We were in a disastrous situation. I didn't know if she was going to live or die. And financially, we were the Titanic going down. We needed God in every way. So we set off to seek him. You know what I found out? If you seek him, you'll find him. If you search for him with all your heart. We shut everything out. Every distraction. We got serious with God. Like I said, you could love God but love other things more. You could want God but want other things more. Why? Because God was setting us up for something he wanted to bring us into. But something had to change in my inner man. He brought us and allowed us to come into a desperate situation. Anybody ever been in a desperate situation? I know what it's like for my back to be against the wall and what I need is beyond my reach and I feel like I'm in over my head and I'm crying out to God in my closet at midnight, help me!
Yes.
You know, sometimes that could be your most powerful prayer. Save me, Lord!
Yes.
Help me! So we shut everything out and that led our God cry. After several weeks led to a God encounter. It's like a burning bush experience for me. It'd take too long to explain, but it was like the roof went away and heaven poured in and the King was there and I knew it. And then revelation started flowing into me without a word being spoken. I just knew stuff. I knew why I was born. I knew who my people were. And God started dealing with me. And he turned our heart to Europe. I wasn't even thinking about Europe. I was thinking about Mexico. Everybody in Texas goes to Mexico. You know? We get hooked on Mexican food. Well, let's go there, you know. You know, we wasn't even thinking. And God, in this encounter, had to reveal to me, and I literally experienced the darkness of a continent. You know, Africa is no longer considered the black continent, the dark continent spiritually, but Europe is considered to be the godless society. Do you know in Eastern Germany and Czech Republic's highest concentration of atheists in the world? 0.01% believe the Bible is authentic and Jesus is the Son of God. That's 0.01% of the population. You go to Asia, there's idols everywhere. I was in India, there's idols everywhere. There's something in them that's wanting to worship something. They're just misguided and they're deceived, okay? But in parts of Europe, there is no aspiration for worship anyway. I could be in Berlin. I could say, hey, would you like to go to church with me? And they would, why would we even discuss whether there be a God? They really believe that if you believe in the invisible God, you have a form of mental illness. And so they say, in the weakness of your mind, you've invented this heaven thing and this utopia and this being because you can't handle life and you can't handle death. But we're educated and we know there's nothing beyond all this. Why do we even discuss whether there's a God? There is absolutely no belief and no worship at all. And God has sent us there. I love what God is doing. See, you give God your yes, it launches you into the deep. It launches you into a life you never dreamed of before. I never dreamed I would be doing home groups in Berlin and in gypsy villages in Hungary and leadership meetings in Romania and on the front lines of the war in Ukraine. I never dreamed it could even be possible. That's the beauty of it. Nothing's impossible with God. But sometimes we would rather live a life we feel we can control, that we feel we can understand. I'm not preaching, I'm just sharing some thoughts with you. We want to determine the outcome of our life in the puniness and the weakness of our humanity when the God of heaven says, let me get a hold of your life. I'll show you something. He chooses unknown people from obscure places. And that gives me hope because I'm not smart enough to do what we do. I'm not talented enough. I'm not educated enough. And I'm definitely not rich enough. But somehow he makes a way. And when his spirit shows up, it's beyond what I can even imagine. I've seen brain tumors disappear. I've seen soldiers on the front lines of war repent and cry out to God. Anyway, so God's called us to Europe. We base in Texas and we just travel back and forth. We've endured a lot, but it's always about what God is bringing you into. Let me tell you this about my wife. So we set out and led to a God encounter. And I said, yes. When I said yes, God supernaturally started healing my wife. First, her eyes didn't hurt to open up and see light. The numbness went away in her body. She began to walk and to speak. Okay. And just before that happened, the encounter happened. The day before, I was watching a Louis Giglio film called Indescribable. Anybody seen that? Okay. And my wife was laying numb on the couch. People began to question whether I was being good to my wife by not taking her to get examined. But we wanted to give God a chance. Sometimes it's risky to your natural mind. But that was in our heart. I'm not saying that's what you have to do, okay? But something started rising up in me, faith, the massiveness of God. You ever watch it? Louis Giglio, Indescribable. I'll tell you what, it's indescribable. And I heard from the couch, from my wife who wasn't speaking and laying there numb, 6 months you're going to Europe. I raised up off the floor because in this time of seeking, it wasn't nothing to pray for 3 hours. Let me tell you, when you're desperate for God, you start laying down a lot of this carnal stuff. I mean, and you see, because there's something in the process of desperation that breaks you to where you come to the place of whatever you want, God, I'll do it. He says, now I can show you what I've always wanted to show you. Now I can tell you what I've always wanted to tell you. Because you're at such a place of brokenness. You're pliable and useful. You're not stubborn and resistant. A lot of times God lets desperation come to where we're crying out, God, I need you, whatever you want. Aha, now I've got you where I want you. And I looked at her and said, did you just talk? And with authority, she spoke again. 6 months you're going to Europe. And I'm like, what does Europe have to do with anything? We're like a Titanic financially. We're sinking. I don't know if you're going to live or die. You know, this is my natural mind. What does Europe have to do with anything in my situation? But see, God has already got a plan for your life. He told Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you and I set you apart as a prophet to the nations. God foreknew you. He foresaw this day. He knows where you are at, and you're not invisible to Him. And the Spirit of God is hovering over you to ensure the work of God is going to be complete in your life. We can determine the path. We can say, yes, Lord, or we can be resistant like Jonah. But the story of Jonah is God bringing him back into the purpose. Jonah did preach, and God did do what he said, but Jonah made it hard. I don't want to be Jonah. I don't want to be that guy. All right? I go to my office the next day. And I pull out a book called Operation World. It's a spiritual synopsis of every country in the world. And I said, if we're supposed to go to Europe, I better read up on it or something. I don't know. And that's when I opened up this book. I knew a missionary in Austria, one in Germany, and one in Romania. That's all I knew in Europe. And I opened up this book and I read about Austria. 12 years of religious education, the people are taught that they cannot know God personally nor pray to God personally. Only the hierarchy of the church can know God. And when I read that, it's like a piercing river of fire began to flow, and I began to weep uncontrollably for a people I didn't know. I believe I experienced the heart of the Father for a people who were told by other people, you can't know God, but we can. Okay? And I experienced the darkness of the nation, and I felt hopeless, but God broke in with two words, awakening and movement. It gave me hope. And then all of a sudden this revelation started happening. And He turned our heart. And I go back and I tell my wife, this is what happened. I said, yes, we agreed. And God healed my wife. Not only that, what are you going to do about the financial pressure? She left her job, was half of our income. What do you do about that? God supernaturally started putting money in our bank account. People at midnight calling me said, but you know what He did? He said, don't tell anybody your needs, trust me, because He had something else to work on the inside of me, okay? He said, don't tell anybody your needs, trust me. And then all of a sudden I saw God get involved. He'd wake people up, people at midnight, hey, you got a Western Union in town? God told me you needed some money. Supernatural money in our bank account. We go to the bank like, where did this come from? They said, they look back months. I don't know, but you can spend it however you want. And it would be the exact dollar for that week. The exact dollar we had to pay our bills. But we had to trust God the next week. See, God had to do something in me because I always liked my ducks in a row. I wanted everything up front so I didn't have to trust Him. All right? So every week, I don't know how I got on this. I mean, you get me, it's like two services, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. I mean, I'm two animals, first service, second service. You don't know what you're going to get. All right? So, but here's the deal. Every week, God was supernaturally supplying. He was showing me when He gets involved, He knows the details. And He knows exactly what we need. And He was accomplishing in our life what we had no power to do. And he was doing. So after about a month or two into this, we started making plans to go to Europe. And you know what? God fulfilled His word almost to the day. 6 months later, we were on a plane headed to Zurich, Switzerland, to go, and we didn't even know why we were going. If we got a cappuccino and flew back home, God performed His word. 6 months you're going to Europe. But then He started supernaturally supplying. So one day I prayed this pious prayer. I was going to pray this prayer. Oh God, I thank you. Now let me tell you, my search for Him was desperate. I did some all-night prayers. I didn't watch TV, wasn't on social media. It was all scripture, listening to teaching. It was all in. Folks, there's a lot of distractions out there keeping us from the presence and the awareness of God. Maybe we need to lay down some distractions and get back to the altar where he wants to meet with us, all of us, for all of him. But there's loud voices out there that have our attention, okay? And so, but I was praying this prayer. Oh, God, I thank you. Every week you've been meeting our needs supernaturally. You're such a good God. But can I ask you a favor? Can you this week give us a little extra? Because I'm weary of having to trust you. You talk about that dross. It's like the finger of God hit me in the chest and said, that's what I've been after. You don't want to trust me. See, if he didn't take me through that, then I couldn't do what I'm doing now. I just have to put my whole year before the Lord and I have to pray in the resources to buy a plane ticket to go. I make agreements to go 70 days overseas, six nations, and I don't have a dollar to throw at it. But I wouldn't do it today if I hadn't learned why he took me through a time of desperation. Your darkest hour could be your finest hour. Your greatest trial could be your emergence into a power of God. We don't know about David until Goliath showed up. Right? We despise our dark hours. We despise it. But it's about where God's bringing you to. And he works through desperation because desperation deals with the flesh. The devil can't stop God's plan for you, but your flesh will try to stop. He said, you don't want to trust me. I repented. It's like a hammer hit me in the head. I said, that was so evil. Where did that come? It came from down within. I really didn't want to trust God. I wanted everything in a row so I could understand and know all our bills are paid and I can do it by this because this is what I've got in my hand. I didn't want to trust God when I didn't have it in my hand to bring it into my hand. Faith pleases God. But yet we want to live logical lives. We have a supernatural God, but we want to live ordinary. Just like the people walking around Walmart right now on a Sunday morning in their pajamas. If they have that much on. God's called you to be different. God's called you. He summoned you to his throne. The King of the universe. He says, I've got a plan for you. Have you given him your yes? Okay, go to the slide. We're going to do this quick. I want to give testimony of what you've done for Christ. It's my wife, Angie. God healed her. When we went 6 months later, all bills were paid. And we had the funds to be 1 month in Europe. And we didn't even know why we were there. We went to places just because God hadn't revealed it. Sometimes he does it step by step. He doesn't give you the whole plan at once. He requires you to trust him when you can't feel him. To walk with him when you can't see him. To obey him when you can't feel him because he's God. But went, God made a way. And the next year we found ourselves pastoring in Austria. God said, don't tell anybody your needs, trust me. I spent all our time of preparation just trying to get legal documents to file for our visa. But most of the time we're running around, what am I going to do? How are we going to get there? How are we going to pay for it? He had to teach me. And sometimes he has to remind me again because we digress. We forget. Your brain is the enemy of God. It will talk you out of a miracle like that. It will talk you out of God's best for your life. Because God's best for you is not logical. It's not achievable through your human effort. Only by the Spirit of the living God. All right, here we are. Go to the next slide. Okay. I've got to work with the team. You guys are our team, and I connect with a team in Ukraine. This testimony basically is about Ukraine and India at the end, okay? We're here with our loaded vans. This team literally risking our lives to go deep into the front lines of war and occupied territory. I told you last time I hear a tank battle broke out in the middle of our outreach. The ground was shaking, you know, and I still hear today, boom, 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 boom. And a Ukrainian screaming, soldier screaming at me at the top of his lungs, leave now. And we're like, where do we go? Just leave. To bring food and aid and the gospel. Okay, go ahead. God bless these teams. I mean, we're in an area where we minister where there's the sights of war all around us and the horror of it. Go ahead. This is with the offerings you've given us, okay? We're coming to a town, and then all of a sudden, an artillery attack just out of nowhere, and we sat there for a few minutes listening to Russian and Ukrainian artillery exchange one another, and we had to leave, get out of there. So our plan wasn't working out how we wanted it to work out, but God had a plan. Remember that. My plan wasn't working. We had driven all the way from the west into Donetsk, past Bakhmut, which was the epicenter of the war last summer, to this town, and we can't stay. What are we going to do? Go to the next slide. Just the remnants of war all around us. Continue on. This, we came across a road where a missile had hit a road, and tragically, you see civilian cars there. People didn't make it. They're waiting for other emergency crews to arrive. It's just a dangerous place, all right? Go ahead. That was a church. Continue. I mean, if I could take 1,000 pictures, they would all look like the same. But it led us to a town called Izum, and you can Google this. This is where they found mass graves. They were occupied for nearly a year with invading soldiers, and it was in the news. You might see it spelled I-Z-Y-U-M, but anyway, Izum. I didn't know anything about this town. Go to the next slide. This is the way residential houses looked from the invasion. Go ahead. People were living in these houses. A man, when we had to change our plan, he met us. But pastor called and made a contact with this man in this city to drive several hours to arrive here. And he says, I know where people are still living. There's about 4 places left where people can live. And so we're going to do outreaches with him. All right, change plan. God's got a plan. All right, let's go to the next slide. So we met with people in different areas, and people got saved. I want to tell you, hundreds and hundreds of people this past year were saved in Ukraine by the power of the gospel and the grace of God, okay? We gave them food, but they all wanted to hear the gospel. They received Bibles and food and the gospel. Go ahead to the next picture. And this is a look of people who had been terrorized, horrified, experience loss and the horror of war, but when God comes into their life, they become radically changed. We saw God do instant works of transformation in front of our eyes. People you thought with hearing their stories, they're going to need years of counseling to overcome. And sometimes we got to raise our expectations. Why not? The Spirit of the Lord is present. You know, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What we read in the Bible, he's still doing it today. If we just dare step out, if we just dare believe, if we would just dare say, yes, God will use us. And it doesn't matter about your education, your race, your age, or your gender, male or female, I may add. In front of our eyes, we saw people radically changed by the grace. The grace of God literally invaded the horror of war. It didn't change their situation, but something changed here. And you say, there's so much chaos in the world. Where is God? Well, you never bring up the subject of an enemy he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. But where is God? God is right there in the midst, and the Holy Spirit is running parallel with the chaos. And God is redeeming, God is restoring, God is saving people in unthinkable situations. He's not just saving people, drinking their latte and have their life all together. He's saving people on the front lines of war. Go ahead. This lady here, this is in another area. There's a story here. She just couldn't enter in. Everybody was entering in. They were lining up. They were getting food. We have to get in and we have to get out, okay? Because rockets could come at any time, all right? So I noticed she was just disturbed. She just like couldn't enter in. She was pacing back and forth and it was just unusual. So I went and I stood by her. Now, I can't speak her language. She can't speak mine. I always have to have a translator when I go there. We go into so many countries. I mean, which language do I learn? Russian, German, Czech, Hungarian, Romanian. I mean, I just need... But she started pointing up. And I thought first, hey, is that a rocket? You know, No, but she was pointing to the top floor of this building, a building that had been half blown away by bombs and rockets, windows without glass, charred. It looked like there was fire there. Some windows had boards. And I realized she was pointing to her home. This is what my life has come to. You got to understand, in this city, 500 people were found in mass graves. And I won't go into the detail of what happened to them. But let me tell you, everywhere there was occupation, there's atrocities. You won't hear about it in the news, atrocities. But you can read about this in Google. We were there. And so every day she walks outside, she remembers what's happened to her neighborhood, what's happened to her friend. Probably everybody knows somebody in that mass grave. The horror and the loss of war, she was overwhelmed, she was bound. And I realized this, but what do you say to a person like that? Hey, you know what? Hey, it can't last forever. Hey, cheer up. You know, I got some water for you. What do you say to comfort? What do? You got to have the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And he goes on to say, to heal the broken hearts. Now, I remembered the scripture before I went on this mission. As the Father sent me, so send I you. That the believer and the Holy Spirit has the same ministry capabilities as Jesus. We just don't walk in the revelation sometimes. So it's like our eyes locked. And all I knew to do was to reach out and touch her shoulder. Didn't Jesus touch people? He spoke to things. I touched her shoulder, and as soon as I touched her shoulder, I had no goosebumps. I had no angel standing beside me that I could see. No great revelation. Just an action of compassion. Touched her shoulder, and she bent over, and it was like a dam broke free. And a torrent of tears, no doubt sorrow, fear, hate, loss, misery was all pouring out. All I could do is sit back and watch. God will lead you to do things that you are incapable of doing in your humanity and dreaming about. And so after a couple of minutes, I watched her, and she rose up, and when she finished, she took a big breath. And she was radiant, totally free, without a sermon, without a book for 7 ways and 3 steps to be happy, without counseling, a touch. Amen. Amen. And she realized the outreach was going on. And so she runs and gets in line to get some food. Because you have to understand, there's no stores, there's no grocery stores, there's no gas stations, there's no schools. And if they're going to get something, it's because somebody brought it in. And this may be their only chance to eat for a couple weeks. Okay? One lady told me, my husband went out for water, but he didn't come back this day the rockets hit the market. So many stories. But radiant, and she was kind of, go to the next photo. There's Pastor Joseph. I just turn him loose. He preaches the gospel because we have to get in. We have to get out. No time for translation and all that stuff. And so go to the next slide. This is a group in that section that gave their hearts and lives to God. And she, you see that turquoise jacket, she's counted among them. Now listen to me about the love of God. I'm coming from Texas. I connect in Ushkorot. Say Ushkorot. That's where I base in Ukraine. It's extreme west. We get the vans, we get the products and the team together, and we drive all the way across Ukraine. We come to a town that's under artillery fire. We can't stay there. It seems it's a disaster. And I had an attitude problem. I have to admit it. My plan wasn't working out. But we wind up in Izum, a town of atrocities, because God knew a lady there was bound and needed freedom. Oh, the love of God. You did that, church. Your gifts have won people to Christ. Jesus is worth it all. Go to the next slide. We proceeded to go. We were within, this is this autumn. I was in 6 nations this past year, and twice in Ukraine and twice in Hungary and then other nations. We had to wear body armor because the place we were going is very dangerous. No other humanitarian group has come to this place. We were within 2 miles of the Russian border in the north, and the land has been littered with landmines, and they had just received 3 days of rockets from within Russia in these villages and towns just indiscriminately. And so we had to wear body armor. Go ahead. Next slide. This is the red line is the Russian border. We went up toward where it says P3 up in that area. There's towns and villages along there. The borders there are totally unguarded because of all the landmines, but the Russian soldiers know the pattern, so they're trickling in troops, okay, in these areas. But this is where they told me, turn off your phones and watch for drones, okay? It started getting real, all right? And, well, it's real everywhere, but you know, I got, just before I turned off my phone, I got a message from Spectrum saying, welcome to the Russian Federation. Your rates for text messages are your, you know, data, you know. Usually I don't get that message till I get inside a country. And so I took a screenshot of where we were, okay? And so God led us there. But here's the deal. We were delayed and couldn't get to where we wanted to go. Another episode of my plan didn't work out. We connect with Ukrainian soldiers. We bring them with us so they can get us in and get us out, okay? And so, but he would not take us there. But he took us to 3 places along the border where there were Ukrainian soldiers in the trenches, okay? And so... They live with so much uncertainty, they don't know if today is their last day or not, okay? And so Pastor Joseph, we go over there because we had access with the military. God opened these doors. He starts preaching the gospel. The men come out of the safety of their trenches to hear the gospel message, okay? And this is a war zone. This is the battlefield. This is as close to Russia as you can get without eating borscht on the other side of the border, okay? And some fighting back tears, some trying to look brave, but many of the soldiers bowed their head, they confessed their sins and declared Jesus Christ is Lord. We prayed for them all, we gave them all Bibles. And who would have thought back in 2010, when I was going through a crisis of our life, that one day God would have me in a team, okay, on the front lines of war, ministering to Ukrainian soldiers while history was being made, and they're getting saved. And he brings us together with partners like yourself. You ought to nudge your neighbor and say, look what we did, because you did do it. Your obedience, your sacrifice led to the winning of souls for Christ. Go ahead. I'm running out of time. Go ahead to the next one. We met inside in villages because of the drones. We had to meet indoors. Go to the next slide. We didn't want to attract any attention. Was able to minister. I believe this group I ministered on the assurance that your name can be written in the book of life, a gospel message. Many got saved that day. Go ahead to the next one. We had warmth items for infants. What we didn't know, because that soldier did not take us where we wanted to go, and I had a bad attitude, but he took us to the foxholes in the trenches of the military, and many of them got saved because of that. That wasn't even on the plan, okay? But we didn't know that night we read in the news, somebody pointed out that region had received 3 full days of rocket attacks from within Russia, and if we would have kept going, we would have driven right into the chaos. Isn't God good? Sometimes when your plan don't work out, God's got a better plan. And soldiers got saved because of it. But young ladies and children did not come out because they had just received 3 days of rockets. One building, 1 street over from the church, was still smoldering from a rocket attack. But these grandmothers here, they could carry wood on their shoulder. They could chop wood all day. These are babushkas, the one with the aprons on their head, and they're weathered. They weren't going to let any, they heard there was infant stuff. They weren't going to let any risk of attack keep them from getting their grandchild, great-grandchild, some handmade warmth items, you know. But go ahead. I got to hurry here. It's time. Pastor's telling us about the building next door that received a rocket just yesterday. It's indiscriminate. They don't care where the rockets fall. It's not strategic military attacks. It's just random And most of the time, it's in civilian homes. Go ahead. You see how standoffish these people are? Scared to get close. If you saw that picture right there, you would see just a blankness of horror on what's happened to these people. But God has sent us there by His grace. And when we began preaching the gospel, the Holy Spirit's released and transformation comes. We're seeing glorious things. This is at the beginning of a message. A terrorized people. Amen. Go ahead. This is another place outside. Go to the next one. This is special. I finally took off the body armor. It's really stupid to look like a Ukrainian combatant to a Russian drone. You know, you're wearing armor. You're looking like a Ukrainian soldier. I try to get it off as quick as possible. But I felt somebody squeezing my arm. I got to tell this story really quick. I turned around and it was this dear grandmother here, great grandmother, short little lady. And she was squeezing my arm. It's sort of like trying to check the reality. Is this? Well, she told the translator there, and she goes, "A real American?" Yeah, and she was squeezing my arm. I don't think she was flirting with me, okay? But the reality, growing up during the Soviet era, CCCP probably heard about America, heard about Americans, and couldn't realize there was a real American standing right there in front of her, coming to help her village. And I want you to know that blessed me, because God has used America. He is using America, and He's going to use America. And we need to keep sending American missionaries to the world, because the world, believe it or not, still looks to the USA for freedom and for hope. And we can't let the flames go out. We can't let those who are woke and disturbed push us to the corner and shut our voice. It's time to rise up, oh champions of God. We've got to keep the fire going. We've got to keep the fire hot. We've got to rise up and say, "No, devil, you can't take my nation. You can't take my neighborhood. You can't take us. There's revival. God's got a remnant. Yeah, we're going through a lot of stuff, but I'm praying for my nation." Because God has used this nation to evangelize nations in the world. To feel this lady squeezing my arm just to consider, is this real? The first American she's ever seen. We were the first relief team to come to this region since the beginning of the war. We were told by the Ukraine soldiers, nobody comes here, it's too dangerous. You help send the first team to a people who had been terrorized for over a year. You did that. And the gospel was preached. And people were saved. Amen. People were blessed. Jesus was glorified. Next slide, please. I got to finish. For healing, this guy, pastor here, he was a drug addict, had hepatitis, he had AIDS. 1% of his liver was operating. And he gave his heart and life to God. God healed him. Now he's pastoring a church, and he's got 2 rehab centers operating, and he's wanting to do a PTSD rehab for military there in Ukraine. God had me preach there. A lot of people got saved that day. Go ahead. In this church service, 2 services, 52 people gave their hearts to the Lord. Go ahead. Hundreds and hundreds. They're celebrating testimonies. 4 miraculous healings in the service. Relationships healed. Forgiveness was flowing. 52 people were saved. Go to the next slide. Now I'm in India. Long story short. You see, I come to the beginning of the year like this and I say, "God, here's my year. Whatever you want. Whoever. Whatever. Wherever. I'm your guy. Whatever you want." I didn't know at the beginning, when I was with you last year, that I would be here getting a picture taken in India, because it wasn't on my plans, okay? But God made a way. We ministered to 300. Because they were from India, Nepal, and Bhutan. That's a hat from Nepal. And they gave us prophet mantles to honor us, you know. But go to the next slide. That's an altar call right there. You talk about hunger for God. They're being persecuted now in India greatly by radical Hindus, state-sponsored militant groups coming into churches, beating people with sticks, burning their buildings. It's the same spirit that's in Nicaragua, that's in India, that's in eastern Ukraine. Do you know in eastern Ukraine where there's occupation, they would hunt down pastor here, arrest him? Two pastors I know, non-denominational pastors that were not Russian Orthodox, died being tortured. What does that have to do with the war? Buildings torn down. They want to eradicate everything except Russian Orthodox Church. It's the same spirit that's in Nicaragua, that's in India, that's in other nations. Why? Trying to squash Jesus Christ. But guess what? We're unconquerable. Jesus already predicted it. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. The church of the living God is the only people group on the planet guaranteed a triumphant end. No government, no army, no athletic club, no marketplace business has been given the guarantee of triumph by Jesus Christ himself. All right, go to the next slide. That's a group picture there. Go ahead to the next slide. There's a story right here. The Pastor Sam, he's sitting there with the tan pants and the blue shirt. He and his wife were on the Bible school premises. My wife and I invested to help build some buildings on that Bible school 5 years ago. And the radical Hindus came to them and they said, "We're going to kill you and burn your bodies because you are Christian." God miraculously delivered them out of that situation and gave him a vision to train girls to learn to use sewing machines and change their life. And so after they take 16 weeks of training, if they pass their course, they get their own sewing machine, and this will change their lives forever. But look at this. The ones who came threatening to kill them and burn their bodies, their daughters now are in the sewing women's outreach. Look at these smiles. They're Buddhist and they're Hindus. They're not Christians yet. They're members of radical Hindu families. Let me tell you, when they turn, it will be a very important decision for them. But they're being exposed here to the love of God. And you can see my friends Kingsley and I, you see those sashes around our neck? That's how they greeted us. Okay, and it's church is over right now. I guess I preached my message throughout. Let me give you this promise. And I'm going to do something with pastor here, okay? Isaiah 41:13. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. I want you to know today you got help from above. And God's going to restore many of you this year what's been broken, what's been stolen. What's been delayed? Listen, the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital D. I didn't type it in there right. I couldn't. The Almighty God says, I take you by the right hand. There's none greater than him. There's none more faithful than him. There's none more powerful than him. He is the highest. Look, you don't have to deal with middle management. You just go straight to the top. He is the king of the universe, and he says, I take hold of your right hand. I'm not letting go. I've got a message for you today that you are gripped by God, and God's not going to let you go. God's got me by the hand when I'm going to India. God's got me by the hand when I go to the front lines of war. God's got me by the hand when I go to Berlin or Hungary or the Czech Republic or the UK. Amen. God's got me by the hand, and I have everything I need because he said, I will be there, God. And they will be my people. You have help today. You have financial help today. You have psychological help today. You have physical help today. He is the Lord God Almighty. And nothing. Oh, when he makes a plan, who can thwart it? When he extends his hand, who can stop it? He delivered Israel out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm with terrible signs and wonders. You can have hope today because you've got the hold of the everlasting hand of God. And in the scripture, the hand of God represents favor. It represents blessing. It represents power. Amen. When the hand of God comes upon a man or a woman or a child, superhuman feats happen. Supernatural things happen. Forget the ordinary, because he's no ordinary God. He's not some dumb idol that has no eyes to see, no ears to hear, no mighty hand to deliver, no mighty voice. When he utters a thing, it is, for he spoke and it happened. He declared it and it stood fast. He is our God and nothing is impossible with him. Give him your yes. And see what he will do with your finances. Give him your yes and see what he will do with marriage. Give him your yes, see what he will do with your career. Give him your yes and see what he will do in his body. He's looking for surrender. All of me, for all of you, God, I'm not holding back. My strength is limited. My vision's limited. My resources are limited. But nothing is impossible with God. I have so many testimonies. Oh, you know, go back to those girls real quick. Pastor Dwayne and Cindy, come here. They greeted me. They had made some sashes. And they greeted us when we came in. These girls are still Hindu. But I believe God's going to do a redemptive work. And you don't have to keep those. But just let it remind you to pray for the girls. They call them the sewing girls. In India, just those were around my neck right there. So, yeah, let's pray for. I'm going to turn this over to you. I've got to stop, or I'll go all day long.
I'd be all right. Let's agree for the sewing girls right now.
Oh Jesus,
Father God, you set this thing up. Lord, you gave that pastor wisdom. Lord, you made a way where there was no way. And Father, right now we're just asking for a supernatural touch to that entire area, that entire community. I pray, Father, send ministering angels, God, to push, pull, tug, drag, whatever it takes, people to the place where they can hear the truth. Father, I pray for just a head to protection over those ministers there that are working with these girls. And I pray, Father, prepare the hearts of these girls. Lord, may they know that the love that they're experiencing, that they're seeing right now, Lord, may they know that that love comes directly from heaven, directly from you. And I pray, Father God, not only save them, but Father, I pray also, Lord, turn them into missionaries themselves, God. Turn them into ministers of your grace, Father, Lord, that they might win their families to you. And Father, whole communities coming to you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for Brother Doug. We thank you for the ministry we've heard about today. We know there's so much more, Lord, that he could have said. So many more stories, so many more testimonies. And God, we're so grateful that we get to be a part of that. Father, I pray a supernatural touch upon him, Father. Won't you stretch your hands this way toward Brother Doug? Lord, we extend to him, Lord, as we did in the first service, we extend to him any anointing that is a part of this body, anything in this body that could benefit or add to the ministry that you have given him, Father. We join our hearts with him. We join our anointings with him, Father God. Lord, and we pray, Lord, that you would bring supernatural provision, Lord, beyond what he ever thought was even possible. Lord, open up doors that we never thought were possible. God, I thank you for reaching people, Father, in places and areas, God, that others have just completely forgotten about. And Lord, I thank you. We get to be a part of that, Father. And Lord, we just speak blessings over Brother Doug, over Angie. And Lord God, we thank you for watching over their health, strengthening them, Father, completely, totally, making a way where there seems to be no way, Father God. And we do thank you for the word that we've heard today. I thank you for your anointing that's in this room. I thank you for your presence that is here right now, Father God. And Lord, we don't want to take this word in vain or hear it in vain. Lord, we want to take it. We want to apply it. Lord, we want it to be part of our lives, Father. And Lord, I pray for every person in this room, God, that you would break us out of our own thoughts and plans, Father. Break us out into your heart, into your plans, into your thoughts, Father God. And I thank you, Father, for putting your vision and your passion and your longing in the hearts of the people for the nations, Father. And we thank you, God, for this representative that you have sent to us today. Lord, I thank you that this day will not be in vain. That someone will be able to look back on this day and say, God did something in me this day that changed me forever. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.